Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Romans chapter 14 again, but before I read that, as usual, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that it's rich and true and that we can trust it and that it's a blessing to our souls. We just pray that as we look at this section today that you would bless it to us, cause it to nourish us and to bear much fruit in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 14, and I'm going to read from verse 5 through to 12 today. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honour of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honour of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honour of the Lord, and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, we live. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that we can have unity even in opinion. Paul said back in verse 14, "Do not quarrel over opinions." Do not quarrel over opinions. And we talked about this reality of being able to exist in glorious unity together as God's people in a way that the world can't. Well, today I want us to be thinking about why. Why is it, and what are the implications of, that unity in opinion? Well, the reason we can dwell together in unity, even while we have differences of opinions, is because ultimately we don't live for the approval of man, but the approval of God. You see, if we live for the approval of man, then other people's opinions are going to, by necessity, control us. Let's just think about it in something different than what we often find ourselves talking about in today's climate. If the people around you think it's really, really important that you have long hair, and if you are really worried about what other people think about you and about their opinions, what are you going to do? You're going to end up growing your hair long, aren't you? If you live for the opinion of those around you, and everyone around you believes having long hair is important, then you too are going to end up growing your hair long. This is why in cultures, generally speaking, people end up doing similar things, acting in similar ways, talking in similar ways, dressing in similar ways. Because as community creatures, as community beings, as image bearers made for community, we drive for the similar, because there's safety in that. We often look with suspicion upon people who are very different than everybody else. However, in the church, when we talk about matters of opinion, there's a distinct difference in that you and I don't live for the opinions of the people around us. We live for the opinion of God. We live in light of the judgment of God. And we see this in this text. So firstly, we see that we must be fully convinced in our own mind in order for this to be reality, in order to have unity, even in differences of opinion, we need to be fully convinced in our own mind. Have a look at verse 5 with me. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. So you can see the picture there. One person's doing the Sabbath on a Saturday, one person's honouring every day, maybe one person's honouring the Sunday. There's this difference of opinion in how to honour the days of the week. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. It's not enough for you to just say, well, I don't really have a perspective. I don't really know, and so I'm just going to pick one. You should be convinced in your own mind on your opinion. It's interesting because often we would think the opposite. It would be better to be vague, because if we're vague, then we can all get along in vagueness. But actually, that doesn't help. In order to live in unity of opinion, we need to be convinced in our mind. Why? Because we need to be convinced in our mind in order to honor the Lord. Have a look at verse 6. The one who observes the day, remember, fully convinced in their mind, observes the day, observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, fully convinced in his mind, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, fully convinced in his mind, in honor of the Lord, and gives thanks to God. In other words, because the person is fully convinced in their mind, they're able to do what they're doing in honor and worship and praise to God. This is why freedom of the conscience is so important, because ultimately we're talking about the way we live our life before God. And doing that in a community of people who have differences of opinion on these things. So we begin by being completely convinced in our own mind of what we believe is right before God. That's what the conscience does. Then we express that by honoring God and doing the thing we feel convinced to do, which means we live and die to the Lord. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself. You don't live to your own opinions. You also don't live to the opinions of others. None of us dies to himself. You don't die to your own gain. You don't die to your own purposes. You don't die for the sake of the opinions of others. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So, why? For, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So here we sort of flesh it out a bit further. We have a firm opinion. We are fully convinced. Our conscience is captive. We know what to do is right. We do that thing in honor and praise to God because we are seeking to live and die to the honor and praise of our King. Now, all of this really raises for us an important point, which is what it means to live in this life. People often in our cultures, in our churches, in our societies around us think that it's honorable not to hold to a position firmly. The person who we talk about being dogmatic in their view, we often look down upon. People talk about them and despise them for being rigid in their perspective. But actually, I honour the person who has a very strong view of the Sabbath, has no freedom. You know, you hear stories of people who stay in their houses and shut the curtains, who won't do anything except for read the Bible and sing songs on a Sunday. And many of us will look at that person and despise them or judge them. But actually, if their conscience is captivated on that, if they're convicted that's right, if they fully agree with that in their mind, and if they're doing that in honor to the Lord, they're living and they're dying to Christ. And we should celebrate that. Whether we agree or not, we should celebrate that freedom which enables them to live for Christ with all of their heart. Why? Because at the end of the day, we are not the judge. God is. And so Paul says in verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You see, being fully captivated in our minds of what is right for us to do, doing that in honor of God, living for Christ and dying for Christ, at the end points to one reality, that one day we must give an account for what we do. This is hugely important as we face the situation we're in right now. Regardless of your opinion on everything that's swirling around us, regardless of your opinion on vaccines, regardless of your opinion on lockdowns, on the government, you must live in a way that you will not regret when you stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, we've already seen in the section yesterday, in verse 4, that he will make him stand. The Lord is able to make him stand. This is not a matter of your justification. You are justified by faith, not by works. But it is a matter of honor and praise to God. One day, you will stand before God and give an account for how you acted during the coronavirus period of time of history, for what you've done and how you've acted. As you've sought to live out of a mind fully confident in what it should do. And this is why it's so important that you don't just blindly go along with what other people say on any end of the spectrum, but that you study the Word of God, look at the information around you, wrestle with the text, plead with God that you might be convinced in your mind of what is right. Honor the Lord with your actions. Live for Christ. Die for Christ so that you might stand before the judgment seat of God confidently. The judgment day is coming, and that should help us to stay focused upon a life lived for him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We pray that you would help us to live lives that are worthy of your praise. Help us not to judge our brothers and sisters as they do the very same thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.